David Corus, Chair of the Board. I'm going to start the meeting by calling to order and reading out the board members in no particular order. I am obviously present. Parker Wise.
Here.
John Johnson.
Here.
Thomas Patton.
Here.
Brian Thompson.
Here.
John Flores.
Here.
Jeff Beckham.
Here.
Felix Reyes.
Present.
Mark Rolfe.
Here.
Alexandra Daum.
Here.
Dave Perillo. Judy Scheifel. Don Frost. Grant Westerson. And I know Greg Scully is not able to be here. He let us know in advance. With 10 members present, we have a quorum. With that, I'm going to move on to the next item on the agenda, which is public comment. And I would just remind folks, this is a special meeting. There are two items on the agenda, contract amendment with Kiewit and an amended memorandum of agreement between SHPO and the Army Corps. Please limit your comments to those two items on today's agenda. With that, Andrew, please open up the public line.
Sure, the line is open. Are there any members of the public who wish to provide comment?
Kevin Blacker, I'd like to provide comment.
Yep, go ahead, Mr. Blacker.
So in regards to agenda item number 3, looks like you guys are going to modify the, do some type of modification to the guaranteed maximum price since you guys took away public comment at the end of the meeting, where we'd actually know what you're going to do. I'll have to just, go off of what you may do. Given the fact that the permit you're supposed to have it a month ago, and you still don't, the serious delay, the extremely tight schedule that you guys are on with the immovable deadline, you guys are facing, you have to be facing an increased cost. I know you are. And I think that the board and the public needs to be made aware of actions you're taking in an attempt to control those costs. For example, Kobe Luck, a local business out of Waterford, a major employer, taxpayer, had been promised, or you guys were in agreement with them to buy 300,000 yards of material. The rug has been pulled out of from under them, untold to purchase, material from an out-of-state, maybe Carver companies. I'm told that it's concrete debris, and I think there should be some discussion of what's happening, in order for you guys to try and cut costs. There was discussion that the concrete from demolition of the pier of the Admiral Shear was going to be able to be placed between the two piers as fill. Likely as a scheduling issue, your schedule is so tight and you have such little wiggle room that you guys are getting a price on now trucking that out. Trucking it out requires further braking and a massive increase in the amount of work that will lead to increased cost. The board should be made aware of that information. The board should also be made aware prior to any consideration of item 3 that David Corus, the chairman, has stated that he's going to quit the board. He's said it at the September 21st finance committee meeting. There was discussion of not being able to fill vacancies on the board and some misunderstanding of how Bridgeport or New Haven wouldn't even respond or fulfill their vacancies. Why would anybody want to be associated with your organization when it's in such a state of disarray and chaos that your chairman is quitting, in the midst of a project that went from $93 million to $235.5 million with further increases on the horizon? It's like the captain of the ship jumping overboard. definitely sees an iceberg coming. In regards to number four on the agenda, that MOA should be made available promptly to the public, to the press, so that the public can exercise their right to object. And I guess what I'll say is, going back to number three, there should be some discussion. There has to be discussion of the Driven lawsuit. There's court dates set of 10/12 and 11/29. This court case will impact the schedule. It will impact costs, and there has to be some discussion of it. So at this time, that is all I have to say.
Thank you. Any other members of the public wish to speak at this time on today's agenda items? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is item three, consideration and approval of a resolution authorizing the executive director to negotiate and enter into a second amendment to that certain construction manager at risk early works guaranteed maximum price agreement with Hewitt Infrastructure Company. I will give the most basic overview of this item and then invite John to speak to it in a bit greater detail, and then I'll read the resolution, entertain a motion second, and we can have any discussion or questions folks would like to ask or hold. Just to be clear at the outset, this is not the final amendment to this contract. This is not the final GMP. What this amendment does is it codifies all of the work packages that have been approved by this board over the last several months, which are predominantly for permitted work. In round numbers, this amendment is equivalent to an approximately $146 million of work beyond that which was previously contracted with Kiewit, for a total contract amount with Kiewit of $167 million, again, working towards a target guaranteed maximum price of $204 million. $111 million of the work included in this and the prior amendment are for permitted work that does not require any additional approvals. Board members, you've all seen in your package that, this is all of those work packages which were submitted, vetted by this board, approved by this board, and then have notices to proceed issued. This is now the contractual sort of finalization of those to allow Kiewit to be to invoice against that work. With that broad overview, and John, sorry, my sole talking points, why don't you add anything that you have on this item, and then I'll read the resolution.
No, I think you pretty well covered it. This enables Kiewit to pay their subcontractors, essentially.
Great. So I will read the resolution. I'll entertain a motion and a second, and then any questions or comments any members of the board have, delve into those. Resolved that the executive director be and hereby is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the Connecticut Port Authority, here and after referred to as the authority, enter into a second amendment to that certain construction risk early work guaranteed maximum price agreement with Kiewit Infrastructure Company in connection with construction activities at the State Pier for the services and amounts as substantially described in the exhibits to agenda item number three, and to take such reasonable and necessary actions to execute and deliver any and all other reasonable and necessary documents in furtherance thereof. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved, David.
Moved by Johnson. Is there a second?
Second, Parker.
Second by Wise. Questions, comments, or discussion?
Yeah, David, this is Tom Patton. What is the status of the the approval process? Where is that continue to be on track?
The permits, you mean?
Yeah, permits, yeah.
Yep. So as everyone's aware, the state permits are in, well, first we have multiple permits, you know, going back a year or so. And then the larger permit that we've been seeking for the last year and a half or so, we received the DEEP permits over the late summer, and then Army Corps process is underway. There's a couple separate permits taking place there at the Army Corps. Most of the content is, you know, completed and kind of working its way through the various internal approvals. We remain confident that it's on track, and I don't know if I'd use the word imminent, but coming very soon. And we, you know, we answer any questions that might arise and trust the bureaucracy to complete its process.
Thank you.
Yeah. But David, we do expect it soon is the, you know, the bottom line. Someone else had a question?
Yeah, this is Felix. David, can you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I don't know if it's a question or maybe it's a combination of a question and comment. As a board, we're approving some significant contracts that we have. Obviously, this is all previous stuff that we've approved. As a board, what's our access to the site? I know we rely a lot on the construction managers, the rep for this project, but you know, has this board been invited to actually see what's going on? I mean, from my perspective, it'd be nice. We're approving a lot of contracts, a lot of work's being done. What's our availability to get on site and see this instead of just you know, just stamping this stuff in meetings?
Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's the one question. I'm sure there's an easy answer for that. I'm hoping we can start doing that more, so we're a lot more confident in what we're voting for. The other item is the backup. The backup goes into a lot of the numbers. Are we getting weekly reports on construction? So if we can't make it to the site, we can actually see pictures, scopes of works being covered, inspections being done, permits being completed, like. Is that available, like in a Dropbox or some type of public file that we can take a look at? Minutes of weekly reports from the contractor or from the project manager.
Sure. So let me answer the first question, which is absolutely. Board members can have access to the site. Some have actually requested and have received, tours, for lack of a better word, since construction has commenced, and anyone else that wants one can certainly proactively reach out and do so. You know, we try and, you know, we don't want to kind of do a whole thing at once so that we don't have a quorum there at any one time. But if you would like to get on site, certainly be in touch, and that can absolutely be accommodated. In terms of ongoing sort of metrics and status and updates, I'm going to actually ask Marlin to step in a bit there. Obviously, there is, you know, weekly materials that are generated against various milestones related to the project, and it's all documented with photographs, et cetera. Those are not public documents, but Marlin can sort of answer what might be able to be made available to board members at their request.
We do have a series of, if nothing else, monthly reports that are available. We also have weekly progress photos and images that we could utilize to upload and provide a graphic portrayal of the work as it advances. So we could create something on a controlled site for the board members to review at their convenience.
Yeah, if we can have that, maybe I'm the only one. I'm not sure if any of the board members find this, but it'd just be useful. It being in a position of approving multi-million-dollar contracts, I think it should be our responsibility to make sure we
We know what's happening, and we're not just looking at this from an administrative level, that we're actually, you know, have some boots on the ground understanding what's going on. So if we have weekly reports available to the that way I can better educate people who come up to me and ask me what's going on at the pier, how's it going, you know, and the good, bad, and the ugly, right? I don't think we're trying to hide anything here. Whatever's going on, I think it's all good information for us to have. So no, I'd appreciate that if I can get access to that. Thanks, David.
Yeah, sure thing, Felix. And you know, I take your comment to heart, good, bad, and ugly. And I think, you know, when folks do get out on the site, you know, those of us that have gone out there lately, it's really impressive what's going on. And there is some basic information on the project website, you know, which is regularly updated with progress photos. And so, you know, anyone from the public listening in, you know, they should check those out. Bert, questions, comments?
I was just going to say, this is Tom Patton. I actually did a site tour, and really, it is very impressive. I agree with David, and gives some fantastic context to what we're talking about.
Thanks. Other questions or comments from anyone?
Yeah, David, this is Mark Rolfe. Hey, I would just like to echo some of what Felix's comments were. I would really like to hear, if not a detailed update, at least a general update at our regular board meetings of the status of the work. Now, the project has moved mostly from, you know, a project development effort now to a construction project, and understanding where we are with not just with cost and schedule, although those are probably the most important mm-hmm. metrics, but milestones on the project, and are we achieving them, and things that are happening. I think having the construction manager or our consultant, you know, report out on those things, it seems to me that should be a standing item at our regular board meetings.
Yeah. No, point taken. So we do have a standing item on this at our board meetings, which is typically covered by OPM and DAS. But I'm certainly, you know, Marlon, jump in, or John, if you guys feel differently. But I'm certainly happy to ask AECOM to give a more detailed status update on the actual work as part of that standing agenda item.
Yeah, this is John. I agree. I think that's a good idea.
Marlon, that's something that you guys are capable to do, I'm sure.
Yes, we'll from moving forward, certainly.
Okay. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. And just a quick question on the motion before us. Is there a comparison as to budget for this interim GMP?
Yeah, you know, Marlon, I don't know if you have that. I to be totally frank, I did not actually kind of look that up myself, because we had talked about it when we approved the work packages. So it's the same as whatever it was when we approved that last cluster of work packages 4 weeks ago, I think it was, 4 or 6 weeks ago maybe, but I don't know. Marlon, do you have that at your fingertips?
I don't have the specific numbers, but if the board recalls, we did have in the early part of the summer, we did have the buyout packages were going much more favorably. In the last part in July and August, that which our savings, if you would, or our budget, I guess savings is the right term on the line items. The prices came in higher than the budgets. So the last set of approvals that we provided to you in that recommendation, we noted that, in essence, the aggregate of the buyout value was consistent with the maximum GMP value. So we are very, very close. We are not yet over, and we are trying to continue to incorporate different value engineering solutions so that we continue to move forward. If you notice the 167 number referenced, if you include the remaining items of the four packages, dredging, site civil, State Pier and the Combi Wall. When the permit is approved and we can execute those remaining works, literally it brings us right into somewhere between the 202, 204 million value, which is a long way of answering your question, saying we are right on target of the GMP value. We, of course, would prefer to be several million dollars below it, but it looks like we're targeting and trending directly at that number. I hope that answers that question.
And this is John. Just if I may add, and we're going to continue to seek, cost savings where we can. So that's an ongoing process.
Does that answer your question, Mark?
Yes, I'm all set. Thank you.
Great. Any other questions or comments from the board? Okay, with that, I'd ask that all those in favor please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, with that, I'll move on to the next agenda item, item number 4. Which is consideration and approval of a resolution authorizing the executive director to negotiate and enter into a memorandum of agreement by and between the authority, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and State Historic Preservation Office relating to State Pier Infrastructure Improvement Project, incorporating revisions made by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Again, I'll introduce this briefly and then hand it over to John. You'll recall that about a month and a half ago, I believe it was mid-August, we approved an MOA between the Army Corps and the State Historic Preservation Office that the Port Authority is not a direct party to, but is a invited signatory because there is obligations therein related to mitigation payments that fall to us. And we had approved that agreement at that time and authorized John's signature. We did so at that time thinking that it had gone through all of the vetting and approval process and that the document was final. We subsequently learned that while SHPO and the Army Corps, again, the two parties to the agreement, had tentatively approved that document, it had not yet gone through its final review by the legal counsel for the U.S. Army Corps. Excuse me. That has since taken place. They requested a handful of changes, some of which are non-substantive, some of which are. Those changes have since made to the document, and so we are bringing it back before you to authorize John to execute as an invited signatory so that it can be executed by the Army Corps and the State Historic Preservation Office. I will call attention to what I think are the two most substantive changes, although John can certainly go into greater detail, or we can answer any questions or comments folks have. You all have the list of the Army Corps requested changes and the subsequent amendments to the document resulting from each. But the two most substantive are there was a request by the Army Corps for some additional information by SHPO related to the mitigation work at Ledge Lighthouse and the sort of connection of that to the project that has since been provided by SHPO and incorporated into this document. The other change that you'll note, which I'll just address here because I think it's one that will garner some attention, is the Army Corps Council requested that the provision which enabled members of the public to object directly to the implementation of the document be removed. They did so because it was apparently without precedent. There was not a mechanism to arbitrate those, and there exists within the document a mechanism for the signatories, i.e. the Historic Preservation Office or the Army Corps, to object to the implementation as it occurs. And so public is still absolutely able to reach out to the signatories, the Army Corps and SHPO, if they feel there's an issue with the document's implementation when that occurs. And it will be up to the signatories, the Army Corps and SHPO, to gauge whether or not there's an issue and log their objection accordingly. But I'm sure that'll garner some conversation, if not at this meeting, subsequent thereto. And so I wanted to be clear about the change and what drove that change. And again, these are all requests from Army Corps Council that result in this amended document. John.
I don't have anything to add unless people have questions.
Questions or comments from anyone?
Yeah, just a point of information, John. Should we be the first ones to sign on to this? Is that the idea? And then it goes to SHPO and the Corps?
Yeah, I'm not sure that it matters, frankly. I mean, we want to make sure that it's approved by our board so that John has the authority to sign because this does go into the permit.
Right.
It's part of the permit process. So we want to make sure that we, you know, cross this step proactively. But again, it's really a document, as you can see, you know, the signatories are the Army Corps and SHPO. We're an invited signatory. And the Ledge Lighthouse Foundation is a concurring party. I don't know that the order matters. I don't know, Colin or John, if you have any input on that, but fundamentally it doesn't go into effect until both the Army Corps and SHPO sign.
Gotcha.
John, I asked the same question, actually, and was given the answer that the Corps and the State Historic Preservation Office would like to see our signature before they sign.
Okay, cool. That's kind of what I was thinking, but I didn't know.
Thanks for that, John.
Thank you, John.
Other questions or comments from anyone on the board?
Yeah, David, this is John Flores. What does, again, I'm looking at the term invited signatory. I don't know what that means. As pertaining to a regular signatory.
Yeah.
Not defined anywhere. The purpose is because I guess there's some obligations that we're willing to do, but it's unclear. Maybe there should be a reference that to the obligations listed, we're signing off on that, but as to the other stuff, we're not a party to it.
Yeah, I think that's a fair request, and I think, you know, as long as folks agree that defining that term would not be a substantive change, that's pursue after approval if it's approved by the board today. But your understanding of it is consistent with mine, which is that it's the responsibility of the permitting entity, in this case the Army Corps, to reach agreement with the State Historic Preservation Office of the state within which the project takes place, which is what this agreement codifies, and then as an entity with obligations therein, i.e. the mitigation payment, that we're an invited signatory related to that clause. But I totally take your point that, you know, making that explicit for folks who don't have the benefit of, you know, this conversation and are viewing the document in isolation would certainly be helpful. And we do have, you know, as is typical, or as we sometimes do with this document, the resolution gives John that limited, you know, flexibility for clarifications and things like that, even after passed. Does that make sense, John Flores?
Yeah, no, that makes sense as long as we somehow are able to define it, because it just, you know, someone looking at it 2 years from now is going to be, what does this mean on it? So it would be useful. And the other obligations that we like doing the booklet and the website, are we budgeting for all of that? It shouldn't be a big cost, but I'm just...
Yes, those are all in the those are all in the project budget, and while the Ledge Light you know, contribution has a specified dollar amount, it's anticipated that the total amount of these obligations is in the $150,000 range.
Got it.
Marlon, is that, make sure I'm accurate on that.
Correct.
Other questions or comments?
So, David, just one clarification. This is Brian. So,
yep.
You know, the CPA's obligations relate to, as you said, to a payment and a booklet, website development, which are result of permitting conditions under the core permit. Right, so sort of irrespective of the agreement, we have those obligations already in place.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I don't know, Marlon, maybe you can answer that, whether these are going to be sort of duplicated in the language of the permit itself, or whether it just references this as an attachment and the documentation wholly lives within this agreement.
It's generally is an attachment. They identify specific conditions, and then they refer to this particular document, for example.
But they would pull out the conditions and specify those within the permit itself.
Correct.
And then reference this as the context, as an attachment.
That's correct.
And it's my understanding, this is John, it's my understanding that this makes clear that we're being consistent with Section 106 of the National Historic Preservation Act.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Other questions or comments? Okay. All those in favor? I read the resolution. Did I read the resolution?
No, you did not. I don't think.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Resolved that Executive Director B and hereby is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the Connecticut Port Authority to negotiate and enter into a memorandum of agreement bound between the authority, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and the State Historic Preservation Office relating to the State Pier Infrastructure Improvements Project, incorporating revisions made by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, substantially in the form attached here to as the exhibit to agenda item number 4, and to take such reasonable and necessary actions to execute and deliver any and all other reasonable and necessary documents in furtherance thereof. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved, David.
Moved by Johnson. Is there a second?
Second, Tom Patton.
Second by Patton. Thank you. Any further comments, questions, or discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, and with that, our final item on the agenda is adjournment. Is there a motion? Sure.
So moved.
Moved. Is there a second?
Second
by Multiple and Parker. Meeting is adjourned, 12:37. Thank you all, and we'll see you at our regular meeting in 2 weeks.
Thanks. Thank you.